Welcome to The Elaborators. Producer Simon here. It's episode 40. That's exciting. It seems like a milestone. It's not episode 50, but hey, it's got a zero at the end, which makes it sound important. So it's episode 40, but it is also a bittersweet episode because it's the last for somebody. Nothing sinister, but it will be the end of someone. On the podcast,
I will end you
today, and that person is Pastor Justin. Is bidding adieu.
Adieu
from WBC. A new chapter is beginning, and a current chapter is ending, both in the church and the podcast. So,
am I not allowed back on the podcast?
No, I was going to say when he gets rich and famous, we'll have him back in.
No, I'm riding your coattails. You've got to get no. I've been very clear with you people. You get rich and famous, okay. And then I say I knew them before they were rich and famous.
Well, that's up to everybody to make us rich and famous.
Okay, so, somebody make Simon and Stan's.
If you want Pastor Justin back on the podcast, you have to make Simon and Stan famous.
Hit like, share, give it to your friends now. Right?
He only sits on podcasts with 1,000 views.
Subscribe.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, I want to know the word subscribe. The word hit like and subscribe. There'd be some sort of like, you know, the language development of that over the last 10 years. We never used to say that.
Oh, well, I think actually you did.
You just asked people to like you?
Do you remember the CD clubs?
Where you
get like a dozen for a penny or something, or I don't know what it was here.
Wow.
And then they would send you one every month and charge you $487 for it, right? For the rest of your life.
Do you think
that was a subscription?
Clever. Do you think the paper boys on the street were waving?
Subscribe.
Subscribe to the news.
Hit like. Subscribe. And also write a check and sign it. And please put some details on the back so we can prove it's your check.
Yep. And I'll tell you the headline, but you have to pay me before I give you the rest. And like, that's the same thing.
The original clickbait.
Yeah, the paywalls.
I think it's really cute that Simon's acting like he's all that old.
Yeah.
He remembers that stuff, you know.
Oh, that's Simo.
He had a birthday this week. So
I did have a birthday this week.
Oh, congratulations. What are you, 45 now? What?
I'm going to give myself applause.
You need to turn the applause up. That applause. There we go.
There it is. Yeah, thanks, everyone. That's
happy birthday to you. What did you turn?
Hip hip.
I turned 38.
Oh, I thought you turned 39.
Well, you can check his
birthday. You've been claiming 38 for about 6 months then.
Have I?
Yeah.
It's all a blur, right?
Can we talk about how old you are? Oh, 38.
No, well then, no. You've officially stepped up now.
When am I allowed to midlife crisis?
No, you can start. You can start. It's okay. But what I'm saying is, the fact is, you are now at that age where you're checking your ID to check what age you are.
Yep.
So
trying to do the maths in my
head.
That's
good. You're like, I think I was in year 12 and then my child is X amount old and now, but that doesn't help me anyway.
And the 90s were only 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not 30.
Bring back the 90s. Wow. Anyway, people are starting
to wonder right now, what is this about?
Why
am I tuned in here?
This is about friendships and relationships and walking beside one another. Because one of the things I realized I've been, I don't even know how to calculate it, but I've been in church life my whole life. I've been on church multiple staffs for around 20 years. And so my whole life has been spent trying to help people walk alongside one another, because that's the whole thing that Jesus taught, the discipleship, you know, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a great commission. But when I look around, I always ask myself, who's walked beside me? And the reason that I ask that all the time is because we know the stats around loneliness. We know the stats around people feeling like they are doing life by themselves. We're more connected than ever, but more disconnected than ever. All of those kind of things that we would at least anecdotally agree with, if not just look into the social science and see that there's a fair bit of proof around that. Mm. But the reason that I look over the last 20 years of what I've done for a job and see this thing repeating itself over and over. And I think I just want to expand a little on the people that have walked alongside me and the people I've walked alongside, because I think it does two things when we stop and reflect on that. It reminds us that we've never done it alone, even when we've been completely alone and in those valleys. But there's usually someone there that anyway, I'll circle back to that because that's an important thought. But we have also helped others not feel alone as well. And I think it always feels – it's a slightly different feeling when you're the helper or the one that needs the help. When you're the helper, it's kind of like, I've got a job to do and that's important and I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep helping this person. When you're the one that needs the help, that's where the loneliness and the self-doubt and the self-deprecation kicks in, when you think, I'm not worthy of asking for help. I'm not worthy of having someone help. And when I look at WBC and the construction of what it is we're trying to do, yep, we hold Sunday gatherings. And Sunday gatherings are about that focus of the saints bringing their worship to God. And the whole idea of that is to be a catalyst to get other things done. And so we look at the meal that we provide on a Thursday night. I was there just last week. It was beautiful. We look at the way we do, you know, life groups together, play groups, all of the things that we've talked about over the time. And to me, it's a constant reminder of the gospel is something that not only says go, but go alongside somebody with that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I just thought it'd be interesting to think, because I'm sure both of you, and I'll, who should I throw to first? I'm just... This is like sitting around the quiz table at school, and you're waiting for the teacher to point to someone.
Right.
Right. So who do I point to? Who's looking the most nervous here? Who's looking? Simon's gaze has been averted. So Simon,
gotcha.
Who was it that walked alongside you in your childhood? Do you reckon? As far as, because your faith journey did start in your childhood, didn't it?
It did. Who was walking alongside me? My childhood, other than my parents, who were very supportive people.
I was going to say, that's pretty important.
I say other than, because I guess for me it's an obvious, but it's not for everybody.
Not for everybody, no.
So I would answer, definitely.
Yeah.
Parents, I had some siblings, but they were much older than me. The gap was quite large. So for a lot of my...
So you were an afterthought.
Tween.
Oh. Hang on, now I need to cuddle. Hang on.
It's all right. You're not an afterthought.
Stan's
You're special.
Stan's no longer on my journey with me.
Yeah, I don't know why you feel so alone.
I've talked to your parents. I know the story.
It's true. All fun and games, yeah.
But God thought of you from the beginning.
Oh, come on, the creation of time. Come on, Pastor.
God's the answer. He went there.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But so for much of my tweens and teens, a lot of my siblings have moved out.
Yeah.
So it was me and my folks.
Yeah.
And then just the school friends, really.
But that's the point, isn't it? Sometimes we go, the formation of you is right in front of you most of the time. And a lot of us, when we're thinking about who's going to walk alongside, and in the 90s it was a big deal. I remember John Maxwell would get up there and he'd say, you need somebody really talented to come and mentor you. So you go and it worked for some people. But, you know, the idea at the time, as I remember, I was maybe 14, 15 listening to these lectures, and he'd say, go and find the person that you want to be like, and then ask them to mentor you. And if they won't mentor you, go and shout them at lunch and spend time with them, whatever.
Bribe them.
Yeah, sort of thing, I guess. And I reckon I tried that a couple of times in my local, you know, context. And it always felt forced. It felt awkward. It felt strange to say, hey, I've never met you before. You should like me and lead me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so my observation has always been, it's actually, to me anyway, forgive me if this disagrees with your leadership context, but has been, there's people right beside you all the time. You just got to open your eyes and see. So mum and dad, being as strong as they are, we've talked about your folks before, migrating to Australia and all the other things that they had to do. You were a prized possession, prized child, and they put everything into you. And I think it, you know, I know them well. They're beautiful people. Mm. They've given you the tools you need, right? Yeah.
Appears that way.
So far.
Well, as in, like, you don't see it when you're in it, do you?
No, that's my point. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Where
Ralph
turn.
Stanley.
Hey.
Brother Ralph Stanley Ritchie.
Oh, my God.
On the microphone. Hey, it's the last episode for me. I'm just going to say stuff.
He's burning it all on the way out.
Wow.
Give me a match. Wow.
We'll have a new set next week.
That needs to be edited.
Nah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So looking back, because your childhood was an entirely different experience to Simon's.
It was a whole lot longer ago.
Yeah. It was in the 60s, wasn't it?
I was born in the 60s.
Oh, come
late,
on.
The late 60s, 67. Yeah.
You came out jiving.
But no, it was honestly... It would be parents, it'd be aunties, uncles, cousins. That's about it. Into the teenage years, school friends and stuff. But I honestly would suggest that a lot of it was not positive. You know, I had an auntie and an uncle that I do have fond memories of and stuff. And actually, I'm going to go see them in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, other than that. That was it was I'd say challenging. As I look back, I didn't have necessarily great role models and as I selected friends growing up and everything, that wasn't necessarily positively influencing, inspiring either.
Yeah. So I guess the point is that people walking alongside us is happening, whether it's observing it or not. And that's why we talk about positive and negative influences. And the family one you have no control over.
Right.
Yours not so good, yours good, shaped you differently, changes who you are as a leader now. So when you...
And I should say, as I think even right now, there were people probably that were trying that I didn't even realize.
Right. You know? And they're the ones I'm actually interested in. Yeah, looking back, knowing what you know now as a leader and you've tried to help others as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? We've all done it. We've tried to help and you're sitting in that space going, I'm trying to help you. How do you not see that I'm trying to help you? Have you ever gone that full circle back and gone, actually, that person was...
Just now while we were talking.
Wow, okay, awesome.
That just popped in my head.
Yeah.
And, probably have another couple of visits I need to do while I'm in the States.
So, awesome.
So,
Oh, there you go. So. Report on that when you get back.
Yeah.
Who'd you visit and how'd it go? Because I think sometimes we think of it as, the person that's been there for a very, very long time, the wise person in your corner for the whole time. And a lot of the times I think of interactions I had on things like a music camp where I met the famous conductor and they were there for 3 days. And I was amazed that they were talking to me.
Wow.
And amazed that I got to play in that orchestra or whatever it was. And that was just it.
Because everybody's blowing their own horn there, right?
Hey, where's the... he's missed the sound effect.
Oh, no. Man.
Got on the trombone. Does that trigger anything for you guys, those momentary things?
Momentary alongsiders?
Yeah.
Yes-ish.
What about in your design world? Was there somebody that inspired you? And
you know, I've never been a very designery designer. sounds
out of the box designer.
It sounds fun. Oh no, mostly like I've never had like a top five favorite designers or a list of this following that kind of thing. I just kind of like designing.
Yeah.
But certainly some in terms of the short term, I guess if you call 2 years short term, we had a few over in the US.
Of course, that was massively formative for you and Beck, for you and your wife.
Because we had to go over there and just immediately rely on the people that we knew that welcomed us in. And, we went and got jobs with this place and had hardly ever met anybody, but they trusted us and we trusted
them.
That's
a much different experience because you walk into a space and you just have to say, please help or please come over for dinner so we can meet or...
Yeah. And there was, I remember pretty distinctly, maybe 3 weeks in, if that, 2 weeks in, at a petrol station, pulled up and we got given the car for starters.
Wow.
My seatbelt got stuck in the, like the old car. It was an old Camry. It had the lever that moves the seat backwards.
Yeah.
My seatbelt had slipped in
to that
little gap.
Wow.
So I pulled in at the petrol station and like was just waiting at the car behind me and kind of went to get my wallet out of my pocket and put pressure on the seat and it's gone backwards.
Oh.
I've bumped into, like, car's still on. So I'm sitting there with the brakes on, right, waiting for the next person.
Yeah.
I bumped into the car in front.
Oh, no.
So then I'm getting out of the car.
Oh.
I've got an Australian license, no phone number in America.
Tourists. Right?
I didn't yet have an address because I was staying at somebody's house. So how do you do an
accident? How do you get through
border security? How do you get through border security?
And so I had to give details. And for starters, this person was great. So short story part of that, they were very flexible and we sorted it out. But I went back to Beck, like it was just around the corner. I just got cried. I was just like, it was so much 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
I had no identity.
Wow.
At that point.
Yeah.
And people bent over backwards to help us. So like the boss at the work, he took me down to the bank and said like, put him under our name and put here's this and I know the bank person, so just get him by. Don't fill in this field yet. We'll get through it. And we got through it. And we knew that family. That was the executive pastor of the church at the time.
Yeah.
And they took us in. We were the Thanksgiving dinner family, the whole bit.
Oh.
So from an American side alongside us.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a long story, but anyway.
No, it's a beautiful story because it speaks to until you need to rely on people, you rely on yourself and you tell yourself, I did this and I made this. And certainly one of the biggest lessons in your faith journey is you did none of this. You didn't deserve any of this. You didn't deserve the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that you have. And so walk with a different sense of service and a different sense of giving. You must have done that a bunch of times moving back and forth from countries and sending people out. Too many stories.
Yeah. And you mentioned sending people all around the world. Yeah. You've traveled all around the world and things. And you do find that is when you're in a new place, different experiences in different places with different people.
Of course, yeah.
So some make sure that you have everything you need and all the direction you can. There are a couple times where I traveled around the world and I would land somewhere and there would be nothing.
Yeah.
No help or anything. And that's when you're feeling desperate. That's when you're thinking you're all alone and you're thinking, hey. I know you're there, but...
You sent me. What am I doing here? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway. I think the landing places, and this is where I look at this, the parallel for me is in Luke chapter 5, which is you were saying is one of your favorite chapters, which is the calling of the disciples. There's this beautiful moment where Jesus says to Simon Peter, who he doesn't know yet, do you mind if I borrow your boat? Because we just need to push out into the shallows a bit so I can teach. And you see this kind of moment. I try and put myself in the place of those people and think, if I'm Simon, I've probably heard of Jesus. I've probably heard a few things. By that stage, you know, he was the kid that had, you know, reasoned with the priest in the temple when he was 12. And he was the guy who apparently changed water to wine. That must have, you know, filtered down at this point. So he's got a little bit of fame. He's kind of a little bit insta-famous at this point. So maybe Simon knows who the teacher is. And he says, yes, you can hop in my boat that isn't being used for its purpose right now. Mm. So use that boat for something else. And he steps out and he pushes out and he gives a teaching. And this flows into the calling of the first disciples.
Yeah, yeah. But then.
Jump.
No. I love this part of the story because that part was easy, I reckon. That was
simple. Oh, you reckon? Yeah, okay.
That was simple obedience. All
right.
But then Jesus said, now let's go
further. Let's go a little further.
If I'm Simon, I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Now you're meddling in my area.
Right.
You know, that's my gig. I know the fishing. You stick to teaching. You're really good at that. You know?
It's a phenomenal picture. And it's such obviously the obvious allegorical elements should just jump out at us of that whole idea of, I want to teach you something in the shallows, but you're not going to learn anything
until you're in the deep.
And so there's this moment where not only has he got his own business, he's got his own boat, he's probably got some employees or a family structure or whatever.
Family business.
And he's saying to a teacher, which again would have been revered in the culture a little, but still he's the new kid on the block who's, you know, don't know much about, and he said yes to Jesus. And so the amount of times, you know, your yes is followed by, and could you obey the next command or the next question is huge. And so, I've had those experiences too of landing in places and being welcomed with, you know, warm muffins and the things and the here's your house and here's somewhere to stay and here's a car and all the things. Mm. And then the other ones where you land at the airport or the gig, wherever it was, and you get out of the car or the plane.
Or 40 minutes down the road.
Yeah. Here's the kicker. For some things right now that feel easy to you, they're only easy because you've done lots of hard things already.
Yeah. No, I was talking to Deanna about that just this week. There was something that I did. I can't even remember what it was now. And it was just like so amazing for the person of the group of people that I was ministering to. It was just like, that didn't take anything, you know, from me. But it's not because it's necessarily that easy. It's just because I've done that so many times.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, if I can go back to the Luke 5
thing. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about Peter. And you said he would have known about Jesus and because Jesus was a little bit famous and stuff. And so he would have said yes. And then Jesus got in the boat and everything. My mind went to when I came here a little over 6 years ago. And I had no associates. And I knew this guy who was a little bit of a rock star. I knew him a little bit, you know, kind of infamous or insta-famous, not infamous. Yeah. he's become infamous since then.
Exactly. So, get the whole package.
But I rang the dude. And there was this thing that I had read about from a leadership guru and, you know, all this stuff, pastor. And he said, don't be someone's no for them. Mm. So I knew this insta-famous guy. and my natural reaction would have been, I needed some associates here. And my natural thing would have been, he's not going to be interested. He's a rock star. Why would he want to come do this? But Justin was at another church and effectively took me 9 months, but I poached him to come here. But you were talking about when Peter then got in the boat.
Yeah.
And then I thought about when Jesus told him, now let's go fishing. And Peter would have said, hang on a minute. Yeah. Now you're overstepping. And you came into this place and, you know, it was great. It was wonderful. But pretty soon on, you start saying, oh, what about this? Mm-hmm. What about we do this? What about and you made me nervous. You may not know that.
I know that. I know that.
You made me nervous at times, but we've done a thing here and transformed this place. It's really amazing today. But it's kind of that same story where, hey, Justin, you want to come out with me in the boat a little bit?
I think it's a beautiful picture because it's what we actually do for one another. There are plenty of things I've done here that, they might have sounded like my idea or whatever, but they're someone else's idea.
You pinched them, you ripped them.
Yeah, right. There's no new ideas. There really isn't. And, you know, there's so many things where, and the three of us have worked very closely on lots of things, you know, including not the least of which was pandemic and trying to figure out ways. And we would come in to work tired and frustrated and
sometimes we would come in.
The five of us that were allowed in the room and sometimes we all, of course, learnt skills that we didn't have before because all of a sudden we didn't have the people around us that had those skills. So the amount of things I learnt about the sound desk or a video editor or, how to make a service flow when there was no flow, filming.
Yeah. Into an empty room.
Preach into an empty room.
Or in your home office / bedroom. Mm. I've got this 5-year journal where on the top line you've got 5 years ago and I'm in my fifth year.
Wow.
And I was so you can read back what was happening last year or 2 years ago.
Oh, wonderful.
And just today I read that I had to re-preach my sermon in the bedroom to the camera because Simon told me the audio wasn't good enough with the first run that I'd done.
Right.
And now that first run was probably 2 or 3 runs that I'd done before I sent him one. And then and this was like on a Saturday, I think it was.
Well, what is it? April 5th. So it was probably the second one.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like the day before. You got to run this thing on Sunday. Yeah. And I've already done all this work and everything. And it said that I had to work with Simon and Justin Clark and my son Garrett,
that's feeling really familiar. Yeah, I think I remember that.
They were all coming over to the house or calling it.
I remember.
They may or may not have been supposed to come to the house. I don't know, but that was work, so we had to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, to get the sound working good enough for that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't know. No, but
you've just mentioned
people walking
in that story. In that story, you've mentioned 3 people that walked beside you simply to get audio so that a crowd could hear the word. If that's not, I mean, that is the picture. The picture is that people will walk beside you, especially if you ask. If you ask. And part of the, again, going back to that loneliness thing is because we all have this about us. We hate to ask. We hate to ask. And sometimes that's ego. Sometimes that's politeness. Sometimes that's embarrassment. Sometimes it's just anxiety. Sometimes it's a lot of, I should know how to do this, but I don't. And I think that if there's one thing that that Jesus taught us a lot of, it was come follow, come hang out, walk alongside, don't do this by yourself. You shouldn't do this by yourself. By the way, even if you're a prophet stuck in a cave saying everything's terrible, I'll still come and look after you there. All those kinds of pictures. And the pandemic was, it's one of those things we look back on now and it's just a distant memory now. Yeah. And we think, oh, well, we got through it. But to try and remember the feeling, and that's why I love that journal idea.
We got through that together. And there was a few other people involved, but honestly, the three of us, we did some life during that season. And I got to know each other better than we wanted to probably.
Well, I think the point that I come back to is the risking of relationship to grow.
Yeah.
We had to make phone calls to each other. You had to message Stan and say, sorry, I can't use that.
Not good enough.
I know you've spent however many hours.
And now he does that with everything I do.
Now he's confident say no.
Not good enough. Not good enough.
But that's how relationships are built. That's how trust is built. You have to risk something to grow. And so the beauty of this is I see a parallel in Luke 5, you see the calling, and in John 21, you see after Jesus is sort of beaten death and come back to life, he meets the disciples on the shore again. And it's almost like this moment where they recognize him and they dare not say because they know who he is. There's pictures earlier where they say, "Is it you, Lord?" By this point, they're like, "Yeah, no, we know this is. We know who this is. Mm. This is Jesus." And it's like he's getting ready to relaunch them back on the shore. He gives them some food. He reinstates Simon Peter at this point. He reinstates him and says, you know, "Do you love me?" There's a very famous chapter which gives us chills every time we read it of he was the one that denied Jesus three times, and now Jesus asks him three times, do you love me? There's this beautiful, beautiful moment where not only do they recognize who Jesus is, they recognize his position. You know, he was just the teacher. He had a role, but now he has a rule. You know, there's this beautiful moment, and he feeds them, and he charges them up, and he fills them full of grace, and literally forgives Peter on the spot, and recharges his batteries, and then sends them back out into the deep again. Yeah, yeah. And every one of us is going to need time on the shore, is the point. But if you're feeling alone, and if you're feeling like nobody's doing this with you, I'd encourage you to stop and think about even those little one-day moments, those half-hour moments, because you may not have someone that's walked with you for a long, long time, a best friend, you know, the one that has the other half of your special chain that you wear around your neck, you know. I'm sorry, I never gave you one of those because we're not Taylor Swift fans. But the point is, I've been involved here for 5.5 years. But the marks we've made on one another's lives
will be there till we're dead.
Exactly. Yeah.
Deep wounds.
No. And I think if I could be serious for a moment, the thing that I'm most thankful for is that we have risked relationship with one another at times. We have risked grumpiness and even anger at times. And you said nerves, you know, we get nervous around one. What's he going to ask? What are they going to ask of me, you know, and can I handle it? But the trust that has been built over time has made beautiful outcomes, not just for us. Of course, we're proud of what we've been able to do, but what's here physically and what's happening spiritually is because we took risks with one another to build a foundation that others could trust as well. And so the fruit of that is massive. And yes, I'm finishing my tenure here as an employed person, but we're not doing it, and this is the most beautiful thing, is we're not doing it because one of us has to leave, otherwise someone's going to kill someone. Because a lot of teams do break up for that. And I'm very, very thankful to God for that part of the experience that we've been able to, risk relationship, but within you know, certain parameters. None of us have done anything horribly damaging, hopefully. The strength that's been built through incredibly unprecedented times, to use that term for the billionth time, actually has created a trust foundation that others can launch from, and we can launch others out into the deep as well.
So Simon, when you and I had started having some interactions and stuff before Justin came along about the future, and I think I asked you, what would it take for us to have our services online, stuff like that, and then obviously we ramped all that up.
Yep.
But as far as you getting neck deep in this stuff, it really mostly happened after Justin came along.
Yes. Right.
Because Justin's got this walk alongside ability to, when he's walking alongside, he's grabbing you by the arms or by the neck and saying, keep on getting in here further. And I mean, I would reflect that, you know, that was massive for you. I think we started you out at half a day a week or something to transition our kids.
Right.
And now you
That's
do.
How they get you.
Now you do. He did the same thing with Deanna, did the same thing with John Takema. But anyway, for you though, personally, do you have a reflection on any of that, or?
Oh, dearie me. we had a nice little staff gathering yesterday for you, and I shared then that the way you operated and what you asked of me was very stretching in seemingly all the right ways. Now it's outside of the personal growth. Like, I am now 4 days a week. So we've gone from half a day to 4 days a week through the pandemic, and things just kept on stacking up.
Well, you get paid for four, you work six.
Something like that. Something like that. That's vocational ministry, right?
Yeah.
So the personal growth, the the ideas that you've generated, the projects you started that you brought us alongside with and trusted me to help deliver as well.
Like a podcast.
like a podcast. Here we are sitting in one now. But I think what I've loved over the last few years is you'd come up with let's do a podcast. Here's some of the ways to do that.
Yeah.
And then, a few months later, I'll build a room. Yeah. Right. And then we'll do a podcast.
Yeah.
And I think that just rolled over and over and over.
We probably did that a dozen times.
Everything from AV desks and cafes to play spaces to painting walls. So I'm hoping that either I get to come up with the ideas, which is a bit daunting, or someone is going to come up with the ideas and keep me busy.
I think you need to trust yourself with your ideas, And again, experience, you've done this for a few years now, but experience has taught me, and I know I've said it in meetings every now and again, just maybe trust me on this, we'll be okay. Now, when we're saying that as leaders, we're not actually as convinced as we sound, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there is a lot to leadership of I'm actually operating on that sense of God saying, trust me with this. Mm-hmm. Now go lead something.
So all those times you said, trust me, shouldn't have trusted
what I'm doing. No idea what I'm
trust
doing.
Trust me.
Trust him, yeah. Yeah, because people, by and large, want to feel comfortable and safe. And I actually think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to want. We do not need to challenge everybody.
That's Maslow's hierarchy.
Whether
you're into that philosophical stuff or not, I think it's true.
Yeah. Food, shelter, warm bed.
Safety.
Safety. Yeah, yeah. And so if you are one of the blessed ones that has food, shelter, safety, and maybe you've got some ownership of assets and maybe you've got some other things up your sleeve as well. Stan has often preached in our church, we are already in the top 1% of the most wealthy people in the world. That doesn't mean because you live in this country you feel safe and secure, but it does mean that if you're in that space, you have somewhat of a responsibility to create things that help others find that safety as well. Mm. And so I think the morality that Jesus sort of demands of us if we follow him is to bring others alongside into that place of safety and that place of care and love and warmth and all of those wonderful things. But that takes sacrifice and that takes a, listen to
trust.
Him saying, trust me.
Yeah.
If it's true that he knows every individual, if it's true that he knows every hair on the head and every breath and everything like that, then our daily step with him is to trust him that he knows not just my circumstance but yours and the next person's, which takes the pressure off me to have to rescue everybody and save everybody. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
There you go. Take the pressure off.
It is. And honestly, I think I'll take that word from you to live on for a long time to come. And it's probably time that we start wrapping this thing up. So I just want to say thank you for coming here and walking alongside.
Right.
I really have been blessed by that and marked by that in positive ways.
Oh, good.
In positive ways.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think till the day I die, I will remember these years.
Wow.
And those years will have impacted and formed even who I am. And so thank you.
And that's always a reciprocated thing, we're changed because of one another. And again, we're only fruitful because of one another. The old fruit tree, you're a gardener. You got to have two fruit trees to make.
I was
fruit.
A gardener before I was here 4 days a week.
Yeah. Now you've given up on the fruit trees.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to have two trees to make good fruit, right?
Yeah. You're working with fruit trees. Now it's fruit cakes, right?
There you go. I think I
just had a little picture in my head then of like, I think, you're finishing up here. I feel like for at least our church locally, like this church, you've almost managed to come in and pull the slingshot back to a tight space.
Yeah.
And then who knows what's going to happen after that. But I think we existed and we were here, but I think you've really managed to come in in 5 years. I don't think you didn't take a sledgehammer to the place. Literally some days a sledgehammer. But I think a lot of time it's like, you came in and you changed all this stuff. You didn't necessarily knock it down to then change it. You pulled that slingshot back. So I think that's an exciting thing for me.
It's good.
Of like, man, if we're now going to, you're letting go.
Yeah.
And then we're just, now who knows where you're sending us now.
And it's exciting. The blessing that I want to allow everybody to take hold of is when I think of what I do, I think renovation is the word that always comes to mind. And renovation is about bringing new materials into the space, but it's also about observing what's there already and using it better, mm-hmm. using it differently, using it with, you know, bringing new eyes. And that's what every leader can do. You don't have to burn the sucker down, even though at times every leader has felt that. What if we just blew this up, you know? I talked to so many people this week, but again was reminded yesterday of one of the older ladies in our congregation who lost one of her children to an accident years and years ago, raised her granddaughter by herself. Like these incredibly strong people, that it's their faith and their connection to local church that keeps feeding that faith that has allowed them to keep doing the hard things. And they're sitting in our congregations thankful that we exist, and we should always respect and honor that.
Wow.
And we should be grateful that we get to minister to people. And that's why I think the anointing on the house at WBC is one of being a place of landing, a place of that carries that spirit of peace, that carries that spirit of kindness. And I mean, in many ways, they feel like generic terms, but I do think that that is something that this house has always had. It's a safe place, and that's a very, very brave thing to do, to create, to become a safe place for people, because it's harder than people realize.
It's good. That's good. Words of wisdom.
And on that note.
On that bombshell.
That's for you, Pastor Justin. The studio audience applauds. Not for the last time.
That studio audience has been really consistent.
They are. The same guy keeps yelling every time.
They're not growing.
Depends how many times I press the button.
No one's walking alongside the crowd. We've got to get a bigger
room. Yeah, yeah. So thank you for starting the Elaborators. We'll continue it on. We'll have you back.
Yeah.
And thanks for the discussion today. That's been good. I'm going to press that button.
Love you, gents.
And we will wrap this up. Everybody online, you have to make us popular, remember?
Yeah.
So that Justin's willing to come back at all. Otherwise, it's just that's it. So
all three of you, right? Like, share, subscribe.
Yes, all 300 soon.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it. That's it from us for this episode. And we'll be back the next time.
Next time.
We're going to dive into Revelation, I think, in the next couple of episodes. That's going to be fun. Ooh. That's a big can of worms to open, isn't it? Revelation.
Yeah.
Anyway, bye-bye from us.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye-bye from us, Justin. And we'll see you soon. Last dance.